The few but the mighty. So, good morning, boys and girls. Jesus did some pretty amazing things, and we call them miracles during his ministry on earth. He took a young boy's basket of 5 small loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus fed over 5,000 people. Well, let me ask you, how many corners are on this piece of paper?
4.
Okay, 4. You are exactly right. But what if I want to give you a corner? So, where did that corner? There it is. So, I'm going to give you that corner. So, how many corners are there now?
5.
That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so how many corners do I have left? But what if I snip off another corner and I give that to Ren? So now how many corners do I have?
6.
That's exactly right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You are at the top of your class. So does that surprise you that the more I gave away, the more corners we still had left? So Jesus can do that with us. He can take what we give him to bless others. Trust God to provide for our needs. And just in a moment, I have something to give you to help practice what it means to give. But you'll need to ask your parents when you can eat it after the service. So I'm going to give you 2 of these things, 1 for you and 1 for you to give away. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all the gifts that you give us. Help us to be joyful and generous in giving to others, no matter how little we have. In Jesus' name, amen. So after you get your little thing, you are welcome to stay in worship, or you also can go to the door right there where Will is standing, and you, your parent can take you up, or your grandma can take you up and sign you into Children's Church. But my lovely assistant, you go ahead and get 2 of them. Remember, 1's for you, and 1 is for somebody that you're going to give it to, because we want to give away. We understand the joy of giving. So go ahead.
What kind of fish are you giving them?
I am giving them... Why don't you hold it up? Goldfish. So I didn't have real fish, so we're giving goldfish today, all right? So go ahead and get them. There you go. Good job. You nailed it today. Well, I saw that thing that's called Strange Math. And it goes like this. After a wedding, the little ring bearer asked his father, how many brides can the groom marry? 1, the father said. Why do you ask? Because the pastor said he could marry 16, the boy said, puzzled. Well, how'd you come up with that number? His father asked. Easy, said the young son. All you have to do is to add it up. Just like the pastor said, 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, 4 poorer. Well, while that was a fun joke, what we're going to read is no joke. Jesus does the 4th miracle in John's gospel, not just by simple addition, but by his supernatural power. He multiplies by infinity, God's math, so to speak. Before I read the scriptures, let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that your word will be our authority, and that your greater glory will be our chief concern. And as you inspired John so long ago to write the words on these pages, I pray that you will have them come alive and transform us from the inside out. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps or in the Pew Bible, it's on page 1055, to John, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 15. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Let's give reverent attention now to the reading of this God's holy and inspired word. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered to him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people had the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
It's been so good focusing on Jesus in the Gospel of John in our Come and See sermon series. This morning we're looking at one of the most well-known narratives in the Gospel, Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Part of the familiarity comes in the fact that it's a story told in each of the 4 Gospels, the only one of this kind. The account takes place in the week leading up to Passover in his 2-year ministry. We'll see Jesus in action. We'll learn from him the depths of who he is and why he has come. So, setting this up, he has done healing and teaching and traveling, and I imagine that Jesus was exhausted, because we know that Jesus was fully human. So he left with the disciples in a boat going to the other side of the lake, went up the mountain and sat down to rest and be away from the masses. And yet, because of the miracles he had performed, the people were just drawn to him. So they walked around the lake just to get to Jesus. When he looked up and saw the great crowd coming, Jesus turned to Philip, someone I'm guessing who is gifted with numbers, asking him, "Where are we going to get bread for all these people?" As it was late in the day and they were hungry. Now I'm guessing Philip's initial reaction was, "You've got to be kidding, Jesus." Then he counted the number of people and how much it would cost to give them but a taste. 200 denarii, a half year's wages. Now, of course, his calculations didn't include Jesus' math. Are there times when you and I haven't brought the Lord into our challenges and tough circumstances? So then Jesus turns to Andrew, the one who brought his brother Peter to Jesus. And Andrew shows a little faith by finding a young boy with a basket of 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish and telling Jesus, hoping that he can do something. When have we offered the Lord the little crumbs that we have? Do we trust him and see what he will do? Now here's the first quality that we learn about Jesus in this passage. His great compassion for those in need. Now in my studying this week, I realized for the very first time that it was Jesus who recognized the people's hunger and need for food, which is why I came up with the title, What's for Dinner? Did you notice that it wasn't the crowd saying that they were hungry, but rather it was Jesus' concern and care who saw the need and the opportunity. He saw a flock of lost sheep, whereas his disciples were just seeing a crowd of leeches who weren't their problem to deal with. The Lord wasn't thinking about his own hunger, but his heart was attuned to the people. Yes, he cared about their physical needs, but even more, Jesus cared about their spiritual need, which we will discuss a little later. He knows it's difficult for people to hear and to receive the gospel when they have an empty stomach. It involves both demonstrating the good news in action as well as sharing the words of grace and truth of Jesus. Do you and I have the eyes of Christ which sees with compassion? Next, we witness the Lord's divine knowledge. Yes, Jesus is also fully God. When he asked Philip and Andrew how to feed the hungry crowd, I love how the text briefly said Jesus already had a plan and it was going to include them. I find it very interesting, though, that in the other three Gospels of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus wasn't a passing comment. He exhorted the disciples by saying, "You give them something to eat." This wasn't an unreasonable request. Quite frankly, it was impossible. It couldn't be done, at least by them. Similar to the disciples saying, "How in the world can we feed all these people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? We might be thinking, "How can we feed millions of impoverished children in the world?" And the answer is one child at a time. So I'm going to ask Betty Chapel, a Compassion International sponsor, to come forward and to briefly share about her experience in sponsoring a child.
Thank you, Scott. Many years ago, when my children were younger, we'd sponsored children before, and it was not a particularly satisfying experience because we never really got a lot of feedback from that. So it's been a while since we sponsored a child, and about 4 years ago, my youngest daughter's church down in North Carolina was having a Compassion Sunday, and I said, "I've never heard of that program before. What is it?" And she told me about it, and I started looking it up, and at that time decided that I'd like to sponsor a child from Ethiopia since we have that connection with them. This little girl lives near the Tigray section, which is the area that is been having so much trouble with the political part. And I found out through Compassion that they actually do what they say they're going to do. During the COVID situation, they had to close the centers, but they still went out and visited every child that was supported, brought them food. These children have an opportunity for for educational supplements, but also helps them with their nutrition, and they have medical care, and it helps their families. We weren't able to get letters during that time because everything was closed, but I just recently received one from Bukitan up there, and that they if you saw that picture, they actually do. You do get information from them. You can either do it by letters like this, or it will be with through the internet. But in that, they'll tell you about their community, they'll tell you about your family, and they'll ask you for prayer requests. I subsequently decided that I'd like to get one from Jima section and got a little girl from there. And then as you, they keep sending you these pictures of these children that are in desperate need, and so now I have a little boy from Haiti also. And you can, we have a table display out in the front that you can see these children that have been waiting, many of them, many years to be able to have this opportunity. But my little girl in, that's our Jima campus, one of the things that they tell you is, what is your favorite holiday? And her favorite holiday is Ramadan, because she is a Muslim. But she is going to this church center thing. So my prayer for her is that soon her favorite holiday will be Easter. I'd like for you to have a chance to look up Compassion International if you're not familiar with this organization. This gives you all, everything you need to know about them. They are, they do what they say, and they are very, very good about getting you information. And for children, there's a book out there. It's called Explore. That will tell you more about being able to help. I encourage families with children to get a child to sponsor. It's a wonderful way to be able to see what's going on in the world. For grandparents, for Sunday schools, for small groups, there's always ways, and there are children that are desperately in need out there for this touch and for this opportunity to be able to get to know Jesus. So I encourage you to do that. If you see any of us with blue shirts, and I'm sure there are, I've just found out there's more of you than I knew of that are sponsoring, let me know so that in the future we do this. We can all be wearing blue shirts. But if you have see someone and you have a question, please ask them. Please visit our table out there. We're full of children that are in desperate need. We know how terrible it is now for us to get food here. Can you imagine the famines that are going to be hitting these areas in not too distant future? So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Betty. So not only was Jesus compassionate, one who had divine knowledge, he was also a miracle maker and a generous provider. It's wonderful how we get to know the story, how it unfolds. The disciples think they have nothing, but they look again and see those five loaves and two fish. And obviously it's a ridiculously small amount for the crowd, but when you place what you have in Jesus' hands, something remarkable happens. The miracle story goes on to tell us how Jesus tests the disciples' faith. He is saying to Philip and Andrew, to the young boy, and to each one of us, "Do you trust me?" He has all the people sit down, and since it's Passover, it would be springtime when there would be lush grass. And it says that there were 5,000 men, but in that culture, women and children were not counted. So this means, to be accurate, there are more like more than 15,000 on that hillside. Our wonder-making, generous God made sure that all the people didn't just get a bite that day. They ate till they were full. Not only was there sufficient food, but there was an abundance. And don't forget, there's not one or two, but there's 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now maybe this is a nod toward a basket for each of the disciples. I'm not sure, but I found that interesting. In verse 14, it says this miracle was a sign because it pointed them to Jesus, his power and his identity. Friends, we serve a big God who does amazing miracles and who does it so generously. What a sweet exclamation point and testimony to his greatness and goodness. Praise the Lord. When we minister to others in Jesus' name, let's make sure we do it with humility, generosity, and compassion. Now, down through the years, there have been attempts at explaining away this miracle. Bible teachers and scholars say, not so fast. The fact is, the story testifies to its authenticity and credibility with these things. The vivid details are evidence of eyewitness accounts. Let's look at the unflattering picture of the disciples, meaning that none of them would have made this up. The fact that it appears in all four Gospels makes it one of the most attested of all of Jesus' miracles. Plus, over 15,000 eyewitnesses would have made it really hard to pull off if it was a hoax. Jesus truly did a miracle. Just think of the incredible thing that He can do when we give Him our small loaves and fish. The things we believe are small, unimportant, and insignificant. I found this African quote humorously true. If you think that you are too small to make a difference, try spending the night in a closed room with a mosquito. And I know it would eat me alive. So now let's hear the truth of God's Word. Matthew 7, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. 2 Corinthians 12, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, in hardships, and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We can't help but notice how the boy's faith in Jesus allowed him to participate in Jesus' miracle. And he wants to do the same with us. I'm sure when the boy left home that day, he had no idea what was going to happen later on. For that matter, no one in the crowd would have thought that this boy really mattered. No one would have imagined that what was in the basket would provide food for everyone. And yet, the boy was central in this story, chosen by God to be a significant part of God's plan. What if he hadn't offered his food? Oh, but he did. He gave everything he had out of faith in Jesus, sacrifice and obedience. Friends, we tend to focus on what we don't have. Don't have time, don't have money, don't have training, don't have gifts, don't have the personality. But you know what? Jesus really isn't interested in what you don't have. All He asks for us is to what we have. He's not asking for 40 hours a week or even 20. Maybe you have an evening to invite a neighbor over for dinner and develop a friendship with the prayer of building trust and sharing the difference that Jesus makes in your life. He's not asking if you have thousands of dollars to give towards ending hunger. Maybe He's asking you to skip going out to eat once or twice a month and sponsor a compassion child. Maybe Jesus is asking you to step out in faith and buy groceries for someone in need. He also isn't asking us to have a counseling degree. He simply wants us to have a listening ear, or to play with children at a local nonprofit, or to read the Bible to someone in the hospital or in the nursing home. Because when we offer what we do have, just like the boy did with the loaves and fish, God is faithful to work through you and me and point those folks to Himself. Matthew 5, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We might think that we don't really matter, or our small efforts are just too insignificant to make a difference. But that, my friends, is a lie from the enemy. God has given each of us loaves and fish, our resources, our time, our gifts, and our relationships. We need to follow the example of the young boy and put them in Jesus' hands. And then verses 14 and 15, it talks about the crowds. By now, Jesus was famous for his miracles. Crowds were following him not because they submitted to him as Savior, but because they were mesmerized by his miracles. A word of caution to all of us. You and I need to make sure that we're following Jesus as Lord for who he is and not for what he can do for us. With celebrating the Passover at this time, the Jews were so very aware of their history of oppression. So, of course, they're longing for relief and freedom and hope. Their understanding of prophet and Messiah was for him to usher in an earthly political liberation, delivering the nation of Israel from Roman rule. However, Jesus withdrew because it was not time for his kingdom, which was much greater. The Lord wanted to give them real freedom and hope by saving and delivering them spiritually from the power and the punishment of sin now and in eternity through his sacrificial death and resurrection. So let me give you four practical ways to put your faith into action. Number one, commit some resources. Maybe go back to that statement that Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And one of the ways you can do this, as we've talked about, is to release a child from poverty in Jesus' name. Will you do that today? You can go to the compassion table after the service. It will change their life, and it will change yours forever. Secondly, commit some time with one of our ministry partners to serve those in need with the compassion of Christ. We love because He first loved us. Three, commit your gift or gifts to share with your First Press family of faith as we grow and reach out. We are blessed to be a blessing. Fourth, commit to a relationship. Spend intentional time developing a caring friendship with someone who does not know Jesus. The Scripture says, see to it that no one misses out on the grace of God. Friends, whatever we put in the Lord's hands will bear fruit. So let's give Him what we have and what we can do, and Jesus will take it from there. Leave the results to Him. Here's what makes this so cool. When we bless others like the disciples did that late afternoon in the field, we also will grow in our trust in God and grow in our Christ-likeness. So just start with putting your toe in the water. Remember our sermon series. Come and see what the Lord will do in and through you. My prayer that you and I will move from that place of dipping our toe to the place of jumping in the deep end and seeing how the ripples of our splash impact generations to come. So I'm going to ask you this afternoon to take a few minutes to think about what you have to offer Jesus, your small loaves and fish. It's the difference between relying on your own human resources versus the unlimited spiritual resources of God. Prayerfully put it in His hands and then share what you're hoping to do. Yeah, it's going to be a risk and it's going to involve accountability, but prayerfully put share what you're hoping to do with your family or your small group. Yes, Jesus could have brought down manna from heaven to feed these hungry people. However, His primary way of ministering is through each one of us and our obedience. He uses fallible, broken, busy people like you and me to accomplish His redemptive mission of saving people in Jesus, who is the only one who truly satisfies. And as you're listening, you might be just a little uncomfortable with this. Well, the good thing is you're in good company with the disciples that afternoon on the hillside. Don't let yourself get caught in that trap of what you don't have. Instead, put what you have in those wonderful, strong, and gentle hands of Jesus, no matter what. Leave the results to Him and see how He blesses others and bears much fruit, all for His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus, who gives us life, life abundant and life eternal, and for His example and His witness to us of being compassionate and having wisdom and, Lord, being able to seek out the lost. So I pray that this afternoon we would take that first step and think about what it is that we have, and we offer it to You, Lord, and trust that You will do great things, more than we can ask or imagine. And we ask this in His name. Amen.